Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo.
We are ready with another episode for you. Remember, that's why this podcast happens. It's for you, the student ministry leader.
You.
And I liked that. At first, I wondered what was going on, if it was going to turn into some type of wolf situation. But I enjoyed that very much.
Just celebrating you.
That's right. And that's what we want to do. We want to be able to celebrate you, the student ministry leader, as well as provide content that you can take from the podcast and implement into your ministry right away. So applicable, challenging, encouraging stuff. We do this for you. And we want to say thank you for listening to the podcast each and every week. Thank you so much for leaving those ratings and reviews, those of you that have gone and done that. If you haven't yet, I want to encourage you to do so. It takes about 30 seconds on iTunes to go over there and write a quick message on what you think about the podcast. Click the number of stars you feel are appropriate for your enjoyment, encouragement, and being challenged by the content here. It helps other people find the podcast. And just as a side note, we know that student ministry people tend to run in packs. And so if you would tell your pack about the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast, we sure would appreciate that. And that would that'd be awesome. So thank you for doing that if you've done it. And we always love seeing you guys out at trade shows and conferences and things that we do. You're very good. You're a great audience about coming up and saying, hey, we listen to the podcast. So I don't know. I guess we're feeling encouraged today. So that's why we're thanking you all up at the front this time. But you are a very encouraging audience.
Indeed.
So here's where we are today. It's that time of year where a lot of you are thinking about this fall, specifically in the area of curriculum and what you are going to be taking your students through for the next year, 2 years, 3 years plus. So some of you have already done that thinking and you are in the middle of a few years of using the curriculum that you've chosen. So like you may have started last year in the certain curriculum and you're getting ready to approach year two with that. Well, we're going to give you four questions today to help you evaluate if you're using the curriculum that you should be using in your ministry. And you can use these same four questions as you evaluate what curriculum to use. So regardless of what position you're in, either you've already chosen one and you're kind of in the movement of that and maybe year two out of a 3 year cycle or whatever, or you're evaluating what curriculum you're going to start this fall. We believe these four questions will help you determine if you're using the right curriculum in your ministry. So full disclosure, part of the work that we do here at Lifeway is curriculum. And our hope is that we could partner with you in that way. At the same time, you've heard us say over and over and over that we're here to resource you as the podcast in whatever you're doing in ministry. So whether you choose Lifeway students or not, and we hope you do, but if you choose to use another curriculum, our hope in this conversation is that you would use these four questions to help you make a strategic decision with curriculum rather than just throwing something out there and hoping that it works. Because honestly, when we have conversations with student ministry leaders at different things that we're at, conferences or in coaching or consulting conversations or whatever it may be, when we are with student pastors, not a lot are making a strategic choice about the curriculum. Many are making the easy choice. What's the cheapest? What's the fastest I can throw out in front of my groups? What's going to be the easiest for my leaders to lead? And while I think all of those topics should factor into a decision, I think the questions that we're going to give you today really help you build a strategic decision that should come first, and then some of those other things should fill in afterwards.
Yeah, and student ministry is a busy world, and we get it. There is a ton to be done. There's always something else. There are always students that have needs and are demanding your attention. A lot of you are doing this right alongside something else that's taken up a lot of your time day to day and week to week. And so it's easy to let curriculum for small groups fall into something that you really just need to be automated. It's just, it's running. That's one of those things. You can pick it up. You can set your leaders loose with it and not think about it for a while. And that is something that, that we want you to be able to do with our curriculum, that you trust us enough that you can put all the pieces in place and then let it run. What we want to encourage you to do in this podcast is to take a quick break, to slow everything down right at the beginning and make sure that all of the pieces that will be automated in the next few weeks in your ministry as you launch into a new fall are moving the right direction for all the right reasons, that everything is in place so you can trust that process to click along the way that it should. And I don't think this takes a lot of time. It's just a little bit of forethought that we want to help you with.
Yeah. So the first question in this process is, does it match with the ministry philosophy? All right. So you're in year two. And listen, I know it's painful. If you've already committed to a curriculum, you've been in it for a year and a half, 2 years, whatever. I know it's painful to switch tracks and to choose another curriculum. You have to retrain. There's a lot of stuff that you have to do that's wrapped up in a curriculum decision. So if you're in that moment where you are in the middle of something and you're using these questions to evaluate if you're using the right curriculum, I know those are things you have to consider. If you're trying to choose what to start in this fall, you're in a little bit different seat. But this question is important for both situations. Does it match with the ministry philosophy? Because if there's not a match here, if your church as a whole is going one direction in how your pastor, how the church elder, whatever situation you're in, if the church is clearly going one direction and saying, hey, we believe that this is the way that we are doing church here, that this is the way we make disciples, that this is how we talk about God's word, that this is how we study God's word together as a church. If that kind of direction is being given and the curriculum that you're using is going a different direction, that's going to cause confusion for your people. It's not going to help you get as far down the road in that philosophy and building within the church the way to do ministry. It's not going to help you do that. It's going to take you away from that. So, you know, we can use the whole a house divided against itself cannot stand kind of illustration in this moment, but that's really what it is, because your curriculum is a major vehicle for the spiritual development of your people, and it needs to help point them towards the overall philosophy that's happening in your church.
So one way to process this is to think through what are the fundamental realities of how your church is teaching and processing biblical truth. When you start thinking about ministry philosophy, you're looking at the building blocks, how the groundwork has been laid for how your church is teaching and digesting that truth. Sometimes philosophy can be a word that is like, oh, that's a good word, but we don't dig into really what that means. So what are the fundamentals? If you were to go back, even if you need to talk to a senior pastor or somebody else on the church staff that can kind of lay out those building blocks if you're not sure what they are, what are the fundamentals of how ministry is done in your church? And then you need to step back and decide, does this curriculum approach, does this Bible study approach match those fundamentals? Does it match those building blocks? When you look at the foundation that's been laid, you need to understand which direction that foundation is pointing. Where is that ministry philosophy trying to get people to go? And is this curriculum going to help in that? Which leads into our next question.
Yeah, I think one statement just to make really quickly before we jump to the next question is that sometimes this will be kind of dictated or mandated to you if you're in a church where the senior pastor or elders have decided, hey, this is the direction we're going. And so, as we've talked about on the podcast before, it's so important that the student ministry fall under the overall vision philosophy of the church. And so sometimes this is going to be mandated to you, And I don't say mandated there. I think sometimes when we hear that word, it's like, man, this was mandated to me. I don't mean it that way at all. I think it's a positive thing when the overall leadership of the church says, hey, we're all aligning down this general path. Right. I think that's great leadership.
Because often it's not the case.
Right. And so if it's been mandated to you, then you kind of have the barriers that you can play in. And I think that's a great thing. There are others of you that are listening to the podcast where that leadership is not there and you've been like, you're more on your own in what you're going to decide. And so then the question is down to the philosophy of the student ministry. Like, how do you see this playing out in students? Like, what's the pathway for you to take students somewhere? So all the things that John Paul talked about now apply to you as the decision maker in that moment. If you're not being given direction from above, you've got to make those decisions. And then there's that kind of in-between moment where the pastor is giving has a direction, but may not be mandating that direction specifically. You still need to follow that direction. Even if it hasn't been stated, all ministries in the church, we are going this way together, but there's a clear direction that your pastor or leadership are going, then it's on you as the decision maker to fall under that leadership, whether it's being clear, specifically mandated or not. So I would just add those couple of things just as the different positions that people might find themselves in. So the second question, first one, does it match with the ministry philosophy? Second question that we led into there, does it complement the culture you're trying to build? Man, that's a big, I think all four are big. Anytime you have something where there are only four, it's a small list of questions. I think they're all big.
Yeah.
But I think this one that is rarely considered. Does the curriculum match with the culture you're trying to build?
So, Ben, something that we have said many times on the podcast, on the Student Pastor Network, in our training content, at our Student Ministry Essentials conference that we host here in Nashville, is the Peter Drucker quote that culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yeah.
What in the world does that mean?
Yeah, I think it's a great quote. I think it's used all the time. And I think it comes down to the reality that you can have the best strategies in place, the best frameworks in place. But if you're not building into the people what it takes to work and live and accomplish those strategies and frameworks, then it doesn't matter. That there is a people side to this. And as a leader, you accomplish what you want to do through other people. Like, you in ministry accomplish the work of the ministry as, I mean, Ephesians says this too, right? That we train the saints for the work of the ministry. So if we're to train the saints for the work of the ministry, then ministry is accomplished as you pour in to the people around you. So there's a cultural piece to this that you're trying to build. And it goes really, it's really connected with the philosophy of the church. Like, this is the way we do ministry. This is the way we want to approach God's word as a church. And then it's helping instill that into the DNA of the people that are around you. And I use DNA there because I think that's an appropriate word. Like, it has to seep into the who someone is of being a part of a church.
Yeah.
To where it's not like, hey, we come and do this a couple days a week or one day a week or a couple Sundays a month. To where people really begin to identify with the approach of the church, and then the philosophy begins to build a culture. And your curriculum should help develop that culture, should help people approach God's word in the way that you believe God's telling you to lead the people.
Yeah. And I think a common misconception for a lot of ministry leaders that are not in a church that has actively cultivated a certain culture that's moving in any specific direction is that, there's not necessarily a culture that I'm trying to move with. The truth is that there is always a culture there. There's always a culture present. There, in other words, there's always an understanding of how church is done in any church. And you'll see that when you do it, when you do anything opposite to the way that it's always been done in that case. You'll find out what the culture is when people say, no, 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 that's not how we do things here. So if you're in that place where there's not a driving direction, this is who we are, this is who we are, you know, this is who First Baptist Church is. We do this, we believe this, we pursue this. Then it may mean that you just have to do a little bit extra work to deduce what the culture is from the attitude of the people.
Yeah.
What they engage in, what they get excited about, what, you know, when the pastor talks about a certain thing that gets everybody excited, that really gets the church fired up, now you're finding some clues to what the culture is, to what drives the people to be at that specific church. I think you have to look at the community, too. The surrounding community is going to drive that culture big time. So what is your community about? What is your city about? What is even your state about? If you're in Texas, there is a culture in the state of Texas that that will infiltrate every single church in Texas.
And they try to get it to infiltrate yours if you're not from there.
So this is true of really any place.
Yeah. So if you take the first two questions, the first question dealing with ministry philosophy is kind of the framework of it. And then the second question deals with the people of it. Where are your people now and where do you want them to go?
Yeah.
So you need both of those things. And you never really know how a philosophy is going to land until you put it in the hands of people. Because as a leader, we said just a second ago, ministry happens through the people that you lead, right? And so the people are a huge component of this. And we can say as leaders all of the cute catchphrases that we want, but the people are going to decide the culture. So the more time that you spend with the people passing these things on and reinforcing how disciples are made and how church is to be done, the better off you're going to be. And your curriculum is a huge part of that because they will sense, well, they've been saying they want me to go this way, but what the way that they're teaching is totally different. So I'll make just a couple of observations. John Paul, one of them is about your church. I don't go to your church, just so you know, people on the podcast, like John Paul and I live on opposite ends of Nashville. It would take about an hour and 15 minutes for us to drive to each other's house. So I don't go to church with John Paul. But some of the people from John Paul's church will pop up in my social media feed. And so correct me if I'm wrong on this. This is going to make the podcast super awkward if I'm wrong. But that's okay. We can roll with it. There is a big part of your church's culture right now around adoption and supporting adoption and enabling adoption and educating on adoption. That's my feeling just from seeing, like, your pastor will show up in my social media feed, follow him on some stuff, and then other people in the church that aren't staff. There is a culture of adoption right now at the Bridge.
Absolutely.
So I'm glad. Yes, I picked up on that.
That was a safe one.
Yeah. But here's the important thing to notice of that. Somebody who lives an hour and 15 minutes away from the church, just by seeing messages from not just the pastor, but other people connected to the church, I'm able to pick out a piece of the culture. So that reinforces how everything that you do has to be connected to what you want to celebrate and see happen.
Here's an interesting piece of that. Part of the church that I attend is called The Bridge. An interesting piece of Bridge culture is that we have just started to lean into this adoption culture, and the language that Josh used when he rolled this out a little less than a year ago, really pursuing that as a part of what our church does.
Josh is the pastor.
Josh is the pastor at The Bridge, Josh Howerton. He said, his words were, as we looked into what the bridge was going to be moving forward, we noticed a groundswell of families that were pursuing adoption in our church. And so they identified just in asking questions, and as they saw this coming up, t-shirt fundraisers, all this kind of stuff, they identified more than 50 families in the church that were pursuing adoption and were savvy enough to say, that is becoming a cultural piece of who we are as a church.
Yeah. And probably wasn't like on a board somewhere, like, let's make this happen.
No.
But came from the people.
And so that's one of those things that we've talked about a little, is just observing what gets your church excited. Adoption is one of those things, and that's an easy thing to latch onto as the church, as, you know, kind of the ultimate picture of the gospel.
It's pretty much fundamental to our faith.
Yep.
That we've been adopted. Yeah.
And so that's one piece of bridge vision that they have really taken off and run with and made a bigger part of the culture, as the people were already excited about it. So yeah, that's a perfect example.
That reinforces a lot about how culture is going to shift from place to place. That's not happening at the church that I attend. That's not one of like the major on the wall kinds of things. It doesn't make the issue of adoption less important, and it doesn't make our church's culture and vision less valuable. It's just different.
Sure. Yep.
And so a practical application right here is, if you've used the same curriculum at every church you've ever been in, and you've been in, let's say, three different churches, then, man, this is a question that you need to evaluate. Does that curriculum work in the culture that I'm in right now? And that's why this question's on here. Like, it is a pause, evaluate your people kind of question to make sure that the way that you're helping them study the Bible matches with what you're saying is in your philosophy, where the people are, and where you want to take them.
So one more thing I'd love to say around culture. The question, the way that we worded it, is, does it complement the culture you're trying to build? And so there's two directions that you may be going here. Either you're building on an existing culture that your pastor and staff are leading in, you've seen this in the church, or it's been built in by senior staff leadership for some time. Either you're building in that same direction, or still in support of your staff and your people in the church, you are trying to build in a little bit different direction. Hey, we see this going on. I want to build a desire for X in our culture. Either way, this is an incredibly intentional process. You need to always be building on your culture, because if you're not speaking into that culture, if you're not casting that vision, moving the people forward in the culture, then you're going to find yourself in a place that's somewhat stagnant. And that is a place where there's no vision, where there's no direction, where the people, your volunteer leaders, your parents, your students are all wondering, where are we going? Where are we headed? And so whether you're building on what's already there, or you have blessing from leadership to begin building in another direction,
yeah,
it's got to be a filter through which you're making all of your decisions. Is this building, in whatever direction you're going, is it building on it? If it's not building on it, then you need to reevaluate. Do we need to tweak this? Maybe it's just different wording that you use. Maybe it's a different use for that curriculum in this instance. Maybe it's a totally different curriculum.
Yeah, that's true. I'm glad you said that too, because the culture, you know, we talked about the culture coming from the people, and that doesn't mean you have to be satisfied with where it is.
Right.
You can shift culture and you can change culture. You just have to do it through the people. And in student ministry and in the church as a whole, the curriculum that you choose are two of the primary ways to help shape the people. So let's go on to the next question. And you're going to notice these build on each other, and coming right off the heels of that, are leaders equipped to teach each week? All right. Are leaders equipped to teach each week? And here's what we're getting at here. It kind of goes to the culture eats strategy for breakfast quote. You can have all of the best plans. You can have the best curriculum in the world, the easiest to teach, gives you all the tools, points you in the direction that you want to go. Like, you can check the box yes to everything that you've ever dreamed of with curriculum. But unless you, as the leader in student ministry, make the decision to train and equip the leaders that have to teach that lesson, it doesn't matter. And so it all really comes down to your desire and willingness to help the people execute the amazing plan that you've put together.
That's right.
And we see this happen all the time. Plans are great. Desire is great. But the execution falls apart because of the training component here. So curriculum, any curriculum, isn't designed for you to set it and forget it. You've got to train and build your people. Now, once you get that going, then a solid curriculum will help you sustain what you started with.
Yeah.
But you as the leader have to invest for a curriculum to truly work.
And this isn't only how to teach this specific curriculum. This isn't only being familiar with the lesson elements for any certain curriculum. That is a piece of it. That's like one of the last pieces of it. This coming out of the culture conversation is super important, because your leaders, if they're not on board with where this curriculum is going, if it's not a culture fit, they're not going to be equipped to teach the content, because their mind isn't going that direction. Their heart isn't going that direction. So let's say you've got a church that has a long history of doing a lot of very practical biblical teaching. I've served in churches like this before, where you are more often than not taking the scripture, and even though it's you're breaking it down, it's an expository approach to scripture, it's the very practical, the very tangible lessons that are most often pulled out. So how do you, it's like Christian living.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
How do you live out this faith that we're reading about? So you've got a church that's headed in that direction that doesn't often engage in theological language, isn't getting down to kind of the theory or the apologetics of the faith. That's just the personality of the church. Yeah. I'm not trying to say that you need to be doing this, you have to be doing this in order to form well-rounded Christians. But if the language is often very practical, and then you put a highly theological curriculum in front of these leaders, culturally, they're not going to be ready to teach that, or maybe even willing to teach that, because you haven't shown them the value of that approach to Bible study yet. So it's not to say that that curriculum can't work for your group. It would be to say that if you're going to head that direction, you need to do the work to prime the pump and show your leaders why this approach to Bible study is important. And then begin to teach them how to do it, teach them how to love that approach. In some instances, you may have to teach them the material so that they understand it. Along this theology, this doctrinal kind of line of study, there may be some theological terms that you have to teach from the outset so that they're familiar before you just toss a lesson in front of them. Or they'll say, man, I'm in over my head. Ben and I stepped into this a little bit. We did 20-something weeks through the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And we were like,
man. Some of you were like, shorter? That's 20 weeks.
We were like, man, this is going to be incredible. Well, it was incredible for people who have taken systematic theology already. You know, it's great content, but we had so many leaders come back and say, I don't know half the terms you're telling me to teach these students.
Yeah.
And I'm confused by the content. So leaders that weren't willing to go read commentaries and buy a theological dictionary were not very well served by us in putting this curriculum in front of them. It wasn't that it was bad. It was that they weren't ready for it.
Yeah. And I think that can go. So we're not saying again that one approach is better than another in terms of how you approach the Bible. What we are saying is make sure that they're ready to teach and know why they're teaching this current direction. Because we could say everything that we just said of moving from like a Christian living to a more theological approach, in moving from a theological approach to more of a Christian living type of curriculum.
Right.
You can still teach God's word in a very effective way with both of those strategies, or just looking at, we're just going to study the Bible book by book by book by book. But you have to do the work on the front end to help your leaders understand why they're doing it and how that approach is going to lead students to the destination that you want them to go, which ultimately comes to our fourth question in, does it help you reach the spiritual development goals you've set for your students? So philosophy, culture, the leader equip training component, and then does the curriculum help you reach the spiritual development goals that you're setting for your students? So as you've planned your ministry for the next year, 2 years, 6 years, whatever kind of cadence you're on there, you've probably set out, here's where my students are spiritually right now. And here's where I'd like them to be a year or two from now. Well, the curriculum that you choose needs to help your students get there.
Yeah.
Because this, for a lot of churches, this moment is the most consistent time of discipleship that you will have with your teenagers. It's not the sermon moment. This is the moment where they have the ability to sit in a circle with a godly, caring adult leader and ask questions and process with their peers what God's word is saying. And so this has to be synced, your curriculum has to be synced up with where you've established your students are and where you want them to go.
And so a follow-up question to this is, have you set any spiritual goals or markers for your students? And if you haven't, this is why a moment to kind of stop and analyze what you're doing and think through why you're doing it, which direction you're headed, is really healthy. Because it won't take long for you to say, okay, this is where my students are, just to kind of take inventory. This is where I believe we are. This is what I believe we need. And this is how I believe we can get there. I don't think it'll take long for you to set those markers out and begin to plot a course, but it is necessary for you to plot the course.
Yeah.
There's another group of people that you need to plot a course for, and that is your leaders. Have you thought about, okay, I've got 2, 3, 4, 40, 100 leaders that are helping me in this ministry to students. Have you considered their spiritual development? What are the markers for them? How are you supporting them? How are you creating community for them? How are you making sure to equip them to disciple students? That's part of your job too, is to make disciples of these leaders so that they can be better prepared to make disciples of these students. And you can use a well-formed, trustworthy curriculum to do that, to help you accomplish that. You can very easily say, this curriculum is going to mature my students and my leaders and drive this culture that I'm trying to build while supporting the ministry philosophy of my church all at the same time.
Yeah.
When all those things are in place, you know you're running the right direction.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that about the leaders, because it is true that a well-built curriculum will grow your leaders as they study and as they prepare. Mm-hmm. They'll be reminded of things that they need to do themselves. They'll be reminded of things that they've learned in Scripture, and a lot of them will learn things anew as they study and prepare to teach through the curriculum with the students in mind. And that's a really cool thing. I think those are some of the cool stories that we hear from student pastors all the time, is when they say, man, my leaders are really getting a lot out of these lessons as they prepare. Like, to me, that's really rewarding, because you know, as a student pastor, when you've learned something in Scripture for yourself, like you had an experience with a passage of Scripture that's really meant a lot to you, or in your quiet time, or something has happened where God's really spoken to you and hammered home a principle, you teach that with so much more passion and fervor and personal investment than a message that you've just spent time preparing.
Yeah.
And those moments that as you've prepared sermons or lessons to teach where God has spoken to you clearly to apply something to your life, man, those are the ones that make a difference in the people that you're teaching.
Yeah, and I mean, so this morning, I just spent 2 hours with our gospel project team doing a final read through for our winter quarter of content. And one of the lessons talked about setting plans for the future and how we should set expectations and how we should be setting those plans and how we see in Scripture how God laid out the plans for His people and how He continues to lay out plans for us if we'll seek Him and find Him in that. And that's, you know, just some things that are going on in my own life. As I was reading through that, I was so encouraged. I was so edified by this lesson that Andy McLean is our brand owner for the Gospel Project. I told him, he was on the other side of the table from me. I was like, Andy, this is killer. I'm over here worshiping, just reading through this.
It's awesome.
And your leaders will have those same kind of experiences too. And those are the things that you can highlight and draw out to really drive home to your leaders as a part. You don't have to come up with this brand new plan to equip your leaders.
Yeah.
If you've got great content there, you can pull those things out and use that to build up your leaders just like it built me up just reading through.
That's awesome to hear. Like that happens in a staff meeting.
Yeah.
Here where we're reviewing curriculum. So let me give you in summary, as we close out the podcast, the four questions for you to use to find out if you're using the right curriculum for you. All right. So does it match with ministry philosophy, both whole church and student ministry falling under that? Does it complement the culture you're trying to build, the people? Are leaders equipped to teach each week, both in the why you're heading that direction with the curriculum and the nuts and bolts how to teach the lesson? And then does it help you reach the spiritual development goals that you set for your students? And we also mentioned the leaders learning as a part of that. So I hope these four questions really help you as you decide what curriculum to use that's a match for your ministry in the context that you're serving in. And we would hope that you would consider Lifeway Student Ministry and the curriculum that we have as a part of that. I want to encourage you to check out what Lifeway Student Ministry offers for you in the Gospel Project, Explore the Bible, and Bible Studies for Life. We're excited about those three options. And the reason why we have three options is for all the things that we've talked about today, because we know that there's no such thing as a one size fits all. And so we want to put options in front of you that can match with your philosophy, the culture you're trying to build, that will help you train and equip leaders, and will help you take your students from point A to point B, C, D, E, and all the way to the end. So I want to encourage you to check those out. You can find each one of those by hitting the Google search, Gospel Project, Explore the Bible, or Bible Studies for Life, or going to lifeway.com and searching there for one of those three. So give us a chance to serve you. We would love to partner with you, and we know that many of you already give us the privilege and honor of partnering with you in curriculum. This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.